ervaring. Me and my fam take this rap shit serious.
Yo, back. Kaboom. Guess who stepped in the room?
Wait, what were you doing?
S-S-W-W-V.
Yeah, the S-S-R-R-S-S podcast. Episode, we on 105?
105, yeah.
I can't talk. Episode 105, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we are back in the motherfucking building. How you been, Josh?
Good, man. Chilling.
Word.
Chilling. Not really shaking out over here, man.
You look real chill, relaxed.
Yeah, man. You know what I mean? What I'm saying? Couple edibles in, you know what I mean? I'm good.
If y'all didn't know, that's what we do before we do the show. As soon as I hit record, we both do edibles.
Yeah.
And as the show progresses, once you get to, like, you know, the 40-minute mark, it's like utter chaos.
Exactly.
That's happening in the show.
Yeah, I mean, we switch it off because we don't want to do edibles every week, so we do mushrooms and edibles every other week.
I'm sure this exists. I wonder if or who's doing the podcast where they specifically invite people in, do the drug of the day, and then just record.
I'm sure.
It has to exist.
Well, isn't, like, Portland, didn't they legalize mushrooms or something like that? Is it Portland?
Or, like, Colorado?
Colorado might have done.
Yeah.
We're going to move to Colorado and do that podcast.
Do the world's most high fucking podcast. Niggas coming here smoking dust blunts.
Yeah.
Be terrible.
Smoke that Wu banger.
Jesus. Yo. So, yeah. How's your weekend been going, or how did it go?
It was cool.
We're in, like, kind of midweek right now.
Yeah, it was cool. I did, I'm trying to think. I really ain't do much, man. I kind of relaxed, man. My fucking back was all, like, you know, I had another procedure on Friday.
Jeez.
Where they stuck needles into my spine and shit. So I was kind of relaxing pretty much.
We've probably had the most needles in our spine.
Yeah.
Of any hip-hop podcast.
Yeah, there's no hip-hop podcast. But we definitely lead all hip-hop podcasts in needles in the spine.
Yeah, we're heavyweight champs with that.
Yeah, definitely. Jesus. But you went out of town this weekend, right?
I did. We hung out in gentrified Planet Brooklyn.
Word.
Shout out to Brooklyn. Hung out in my partner and I went to like the Dumbo area by the bridge.
Yeah.
It was real, you know, real fly shit we did the whole weekend.
You see Jay-Z down there?
We did not see Jay-Z. Okay. We did at one point ride past Marcy Projects, though.
Oh, word?
Yeah, we were going somewhere.
You didn't, like, hop Uber out and do, like, the super millennial thing of, like, hopping out and taking a picture in front of, like, the Marcy Projects sign?
I'm gonna say this. That's for suckers. You know what I'm saying? That's for niggas that's not from nowhere. Yeah. We from somewhere. Yeah, so, exactly. You know, we used to seeing shit that's significant or maybe slightly dangerous. Niggas that come from, like, Kansas or something, you know, shout out to Kansas. But niggas ain't from nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, they do touristy shit like that. Hop out, oh, it's The Rock. Could throw up the diamond. Yeah. They ain't doing that shit in front of some other niggas' project.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not happening. But it was real chill. It's just, New York makes me a little sad because it's so...
It's not.
Dog.
Like... Bushwick is not Bushwick anymore.
Nah, Bushwick is, like, you used to hear Bushwick Bill. That's what he named after. You know what I'm saying? A nigga with one eye, lost his eye violently. You know, you hear Bushwick now, you think, like, vintage thrift shops, you know what I'm saying? All of that stuff. So
artisanal, like, Manny's spots.
All of the things, you know what I mean? So we, you know, spent a little time in Bushwick and stayed in Dumbo. And it was just, like, brunch and, you know, nice things. We did a fucking Airbnb at this luxury condo.
Yeah.
And on the Airbnb, it's like, you know, rooftop view, luxury condo in the Dumbo area, a pool. You have access to the pool. Da 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 da. So we thinking, like, man, this shit gonna be lit. And it was, like, the spot we stayed in was really nice and all of that. But at one point, Lissa was like, yo, let's go, you know, hang out in the pool and swim before, you know, we go out, you know, on the town for the evening. dog, she got her towel and like bathing suit and all that shit. You know, she went to the pool and like the lifeguard slash security stopped her at the door. It was like, ma'am, what's your name? And she gave him her name, and they were like, yeah, if you're not a resident, your name's not on a lease here, you can't swim in the pool.
Oh, wow.
Right. So she's talking to the guard, and come to find out, homeboy, or you know, the folks who live in this luxury condo are not supposed to be doing Airbnb.
Oh. So she low-key snitched on him.
Right, right. Like, I felt bad for boy. I was like, damn, bro. They're going to definitely, if the guard snitches,
yeah,
he's definitely going to get like a letter, yeah, or something. Like, are you doing, well, I mean, Airbnb?
Part of that's on his fault because he shouldn't have put the pool shit in there. If you don't put the pool shit in there, no one knows.
Right. We wouldn't have, dog, the pool was on like the ground level.
Yeah.
And you could kind of see it from the elevator, like when you're going up to the room. But we wouldn't have thought to ask about that or go down there. You, yeah, know what I mean? Like, we wouldn't even have thought.
Could have naturally assumed, like, oh, yeah, it's probably for just residents.
Right. He put it in the goddamn description.
Yeah, once you put it in there, then you, yo, listen, you snitched on yourself, fam. Like,
yeah, yo. So, like, the guy, you know, Airbnb, like, texts back and forth with, yeah, the person. And the guy seems super sweet. So I'm like, all right, he did a dickhead thing. Let's let it rock. Lissa's like indignant about it. And she's like, I'm going to write a letter. Yeah. Sometimes when shit goes wrong, she'll write like a white woman letter. You know what I'm saying? To rectify, yeah, certain, you know, wrongs.
She got the name for it.
Yeah. Melissa Simpson.
Yeah.
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 So like, she's like, I'm thinking maybe she forgot about it because she didn't bring it up yesterday.
Yeah.
But I know she's going to come in. Like, she'll probably walk in while we're doing this and be like, I got to write a letter to Airbnb. You know what I'm saying? Because that dude faked us out. But yeah, but besides that, it was chill. You know, word, what I mean? Like, Saturday, we hung out at this spot and, like, ate dinner by the water and shit. Yeah. It was,
I know you
chill,
said he was eating like organic pancakes for like $20 and shit like that.
It's the most expensive pancakes at this fucking brunch spot. It's, yeah, New York. We used to go to New York. I don't know if you went to New York as a kid. Me and my mom used to go up there.
I didn't go until I was in high school.
Got you. We used to go and like just like hang out up there. And yeah, it was like so fun and grimy and, you know, unique. Now, I still like it, but it just it makes me sad also because they're that form of like gentrification where everything is like uniform and it's all like yuppie shit.
Word.
That shit's transporting here in Philly.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. It's insane here, yeah, now. You know what I mean? Like, any open spot condos are being built.
Right. Like, in the condo next to us, they were building another condo. Like, yeah, when we looked out the bedroom window, right there, they were building another condo.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I could throw a paper airplane into that motherfucker. It was close.
One of the kids I used to coach, he got some job with, like, a realtor company. So, like, mm-hmm, he's going to college. I know he's going to Temple. So, I guess it's, like, a part-time gig for him. It was a summer and then now, like, a part-time thing for him. But he posted, he like still posts spots for like the realtor company that he's working for,
right?
And like, he posted a spot the other day that was in like South Philly somewhere, but like the rest of the block is still like regular row homes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this is like a super nice condo that they built where, right, that other house was. And I'm like, it just stands out in the block.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah, like, I'm like, that just doesn't look good. And I'm like, what they were wanting for pricing, I was like, fam, I'm not paying that to live in like a block that's just a regular block.
Live in this fucking bombed out ass, yeah, block. You got the only nice house.
Yeah. I was like, nah, man, I wouldn't do that. You know, yeah, what I mean? And it's like, it also just like, it looks so out of place and it makes Philly look so different, man. Like,
yeah.
Row home, like, this used to be the city of row homes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, it'll be the city of row condos soon.
Right, stacked up.
Yeah,
yeah.
And like, the condo houses 10 people and shit like that. And it's like, that's not like, the city is just changing so much, man. Yeah. And like, people just getting priced out of everything. And
right,
like, it's crazy. It really is.
Yeah, like, I don't know, I joked about this at the live show that we did a little while back, but you know, we kind of got priced out of West Philly.
Mm-hmm.
We're in South Philly now. I don't know where the fuck we grow. You know, either we got to sell out and become, you know, part of like the bourgeoisie class, or, you know, move to fucking Camden.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, it'll be serious rap shit live from Camden because
we are not. I'll quit life. No disrespect to niggas in Camden. You know what I'm saying? I'm not living in motherfucking Camden.
Yeah, nah, it's not happening. Move, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if only somebody would pay us many American dollars to do this wonderful podcast, then we'd be fine and we wouldn't have to really worry about
it. We got to get our P's, brother. We got to get them P's, brother.
Listen.
Got to get them P's, man.
Dog, I was watching Top Boy came back. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just, I love like their slant shot. Sorry about the noise in the background. If y'all can hear it, we live in, you know, a fucking war zone. But the slang and shit. Top Boy's amazing, yo. Like it's you know, one of those shows that for me, as someone who's never been to England, London, any of that stuff, I get a feeling for what life is like that over there, and like how it relates to what life is kind of like, you know, for us over here. Not that we're out in the streets selling drugs or anything, but you know, it
got
just
food.
You know, yeah, it's food, the fucking food. That shit. I'm glad it's back.
You didn't finish, right? You didn't finish the season?
No, not yet. We still rocking with it.
So I'm not going to spoil everything. But it's an amazing season.
Yeah.
Like, it comes back, and I think for me, like, it took me a while to get adjusted to everything. Because what I meant to do was watch the last season.
Yeah.
To catch up and get like back on the page of where everything was. Because I didn't remember exactly where everybody was.
Right. We haven't looked at this thing in a while. Yeah.
Because it's been off the air for 6 years, and I watched it a couple years ago.
Yeah,
so
6 years.
6 years.
That's crazy. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, shout out to Drake. Drake brought it back, man. I know mom was like,
Drake appropriator.
They said he came to them with a hold on, sorry, Siri's wilding out. Drake came to the board, the creator of it, and was like, yo, I really love the show, blah, 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 blah.
Streets need it.
Yeah, I want to get it back out there. And they said, like, he came back to them with a fucking, with a deal from Netflix.
What? That's clout, dog.
Yeah, like.
That's clout.
He was like, yo, I'm going to get this back on the air. And then, like, he came back with a deal from Netflix.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Can he get us a deal?
Right? Can he get us a deal on Netflix?
What the fuck?
Aubrey, what's up, baby? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? We need that.
God damn.
I love a six. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, so like it came back. They got a lot of the main players back. Like Rennell is not back. That's the only kid that's not back. Yeah, but like everybody else is pretty much back.
That's so crazy.
And like it, like I really love. There's one scene where he sits down, where Duchesne and Sully sit down, two of the main characters, and they're like, Duchesne's like, "Yo, I'm 36, man. I thought I'd be in a different place in my life."
Right.
And like I felt that shit to the core.
Me too, bro.
Yeah, shit. Like I felt that shit to the core. And it was definitely like for real, real shit. I was sitting there going like, "Yo, this shit is like some." Like real like soul hitting shit, you know what I mean? When he's talking about like, yeah, man, I just didn't think I'd be in this place and blah blah blah. It also like it does a real good job this season on touching on like what we were just talking about with gentrification, same shit's happening in London, like you know what I mean? So like you're like he comes back because he starts the season off in Jamaica. Duchesne starts the season in Jamaica. He was kind of on the run for some shit that happened.
I was gonna say he kind of had to dip out.
So he's been living in Jamaica for a while, and then like he eventually comes back to London, and like he's going through and he's seeing like town being different and all that kind of shit. They talk about like the immigration from Syria, like that's touched upon.
I love how they illustrate, you know, those kind of like realities of the immigration aspect. Like I said, I didn't watch the whole thing yet. Like, we're still going through it. But yeah, I love that they depict the cruelty that immigrants face in Europe. You know what I mean? And, you know, is over here too in America. This kind of like brutal, really like form of xenophobia that these folks face, and they just trying to survive. They're refugees. A lot of these folks are refugees, specifically in the Middle East and in Central and South America. These folks are fleeing conflicts that the West, if the West didn't directly start them,
they definitely
instigates.
Heavy influence in what's going on.
They got a fucking hand in this shit. You know what I mean? So it was ill. To see like the young lady was like trying to steal like diapers or some shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the law just like swooped down on her, and the cops were going back and forth, like, let her go. Nah, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It was just wild to see that.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
There's even like a Make America Great analog ball in there. Cause there's a dude that's like super like, you know, anti-immigrant and was racist, and he's wearing like a red baseball cap. Mm-hmm. Shit. You never see what it says on there,
right?
But there's like a red baseball cap. So there's and like, if you don't know, like if you're not like a person who goes, like, England is having their, you know, with Brexit and all that kind of shit, they're having their like fascist movement in England. So like, even though it isn't, it is relevant to us in the United States with the, but that is very relevant, very socially relevant to what's going on in England. So like, it's it really does a great job. There's also a lot of like homages to a lot of different gangster movies and shit like that are there's even like early episodes of The Wire, they used a lot of like CCT shots.
Yeah,
you have a bunch of those
closed caption TV.
A bunch of that in this. There is like homages to a ton of different like gangster movies, shit like that.
I wouldn't even have thought of that with the closed caption TV.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do that.
But it's all really good. There's also like one criticism I do have, some of the stuff I don't feel like is shot. Like, I would have shot it differently, like, to say it that way. Maybe a little more artfully. But there is also like those rolling cam shots where it's like the camera's trained on Duchesne's face and everything around him is moving backwards. That Spike Lee shot.
Yeah.
There's a couple of those in there. So there is trickiness sometimes with the cameras that I just think they could have done that in like a little more. Mm-hmm. But like, it is beautiful shot. Like, you definitely see, like, shout out to the BBC, but some of their stuff is shot shittily, dog. Like, this, you can definitely see the difference in like, just like the high definition quality that you're getting in it.
Right.
But it's beautiful, dude. Like, I think it's shot really well. All the actors are on par. Like, dudes who play Sully and Duchesne are great.
Yeah, they're both so good.
The new protagonist in Jamie is wonderful, yo.
Yeah.
And that kid is great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who he is and what he's done, like, other than this.
Yeah.
But I did see a thing where they were saying a lot of the dudes they hired for this are all first time actors.
Really?
The
so younger get people off the block.
Yeah, like, they're getting people literally off the blocks.
Wow.
This may be his first thing. He's insanely good.
Yeah.
The kid who plays Jamie.
And that was kind of something that you know, happened in the prior seasons too.
Yeah.
Like, they had really good young actors.
Yeah. Oh, you definitely. I mean, they had what the hell was her name? The chick from Black Panther.
Black Panther. Letitia Wright.
Yeah, Letitia Wright.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had her. The John from has the show on Netflix, the British show. Why the hell I can't think of it?
Oh, Michaela Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
From she was in a bunch of shit. She's incredible.
Yeah, yeah, she's great. She was on like the early seasons.
Uh-huh.
There's a bunch of people. They got a bunch of people. Like, you go back and watch those the two BBC episodes. They're now listed as Top Boy Summer House on Netflix.
I was gonna say, so Lisa and I were talking about this. When you show it, when you see it on Netflix, you're not usually, if you watch, I don't know, you know, Real Husbands of Hollywood, it's like season one, two, three, all in one, you know, part of the queue. But this Top Boy is divided into two.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think because this is specific. I think they want to put Netflix original on it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
It's listed as a Netflix original now.
Yeah. Whereas the original was produced for the BBC, or was it?
It was a Channel 4 show or something like that. I read.
Gotcha.
Which is like BBC. Like, I think they have like BBC 1, 2, and 3 over there or something like that. There's a bunch of different BBCs. But they have, it was a BBC show or whatever. And then now it's specifically just a Netflix
show. Original. That was my thought. I was like, it's definitely a production thing. Somebody produced and owns one that's different from the original.
Channel 4 or whatever must own the original.
Right. I thought that's what was happening.
It was licensed to be a Netflix show. And then when they made it their own, they made it Top Boy's original programming.
Right.
But like, it just does a great job with like being real. And matter of fact, the other day I bumped into a dude from England, from London. And we were talking, and I mentioned like, oh, yo, I just got done literally just watched. I was just watching Top Boy. He was like, oh, man, I can't wait to watch it. Mm. He was like, the original is so great, man. He was like, yo, when I tell you, he was like, those places they're showing are legit. He was
like in the projects.
Yeah.
And shit.
Like he was like, that shit is legit that they shot everything in. Matter of fact, I was watching. There's a documentary that's with the new season.
Oh, really?
When you scroll down the episodes, like at the end, they'll have like the trailers they released. They also have a documentary that they did. It's like 10 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
But they talk about when they shot the new season, they legit had to like pay off drug dealers because they were shooting where dudes were hustling. And yo, I can't hustle with you. You having cameras out here.
Yeah.
So they basically had to like pay off certain people to like be shooting in certain areas.
Yeah, pay off the locals.
But exactly, they wanted it to be legit. They didn't want to be like, oh, let's go find somewhere else to go shoot. Yeah. Like, but it's a great story. This season is superb.
Yeah.
Superb. I finished it. I'm ready to go back and redo it.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the homie Davu. He mentioned he thinks it's more compelling than the Avon Marlo beef in the wire.
Yeah.
Shout out to Vision too. He mentioned that. And like what I said to him was like, biggest thing is Jamie morally is a better character than Marlo. Marlo was just an evil dude. He was he was evil incarnate, essentially.
Yeah.
Where Jamie, like, you understand why he's doing certain things, and like his motivation behind a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
The dude Modi that like was his boss essentially that goes to jail. Mm-hmm. He's a fucking amazing character. It was just great, dude. And they released a soundtrack to it too.
Oh yeah.
That was on Tidal. And man, it put me onto a bunch of artists.
Dog, that song, I can't think of the dude's name, but they play it in one of the episodes, and the whole song is about like, it's kind of similar to the Razzcast song that we talked about last week, where it's like talking about like drugs and drug culture and like addiction culture. I'm going to find that dude. It's called Drugs on Tap by Lloyd Luther.
Okay, that's not even on. That's not on the soundtrack.
This shit is hard.
For real?
And he like spitting on that shit, but it's all about like addiction.
Yeah.
That shit is heavy, yo.
I like the Baka Not Nice joint with Giggs where he's like, Batman, put your gun down. This is my town. That joint goes.
Yeah.
There's that, the Baka Not Nice. There's Young's Teflon Overseer, which is insane. There's this dude M. Honcho, who's crazy. It's wild. The dude M. Honcho's got like Doom vibe. Like he wears a mask.
Oh, I know that dude. Yeah.
He's never like no one's seen his face.
Right. He's in I think he's in like the Gun Lean video.
Okay.
I've definitely seen that dude in
yeah.
shit.
And he heard like rap. It literally just says like under one eye, it says like M. Honcho.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's dope. He's kind of like got like a Future vibe.
Mm-hmm.
There's that dude. There's this dude, Dave, which the boy from England was telling me, the boy from London was telling me, he's real big over there.
Yeah.
This dude, Dave.
Just a motherfucker named Dave.
Just Dave.
God damn.
I was like, the problem is me trying to search to find that dude. His name is Dave. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Find everybody but him.
Yeah. So he's got a joint called God's Eye that's real dope on that soundtrack. Drake's got a joint on there, but I think like that's been out before.
Drake, he be riding the waves, yeah. dog.
God, oh, and it's damn. Definitely like a grime joint.
Yeah, riding the wave. I like him in that context.
Me
though.
Too.
I like when he like I you know, because I was gonna say I like when he do hard shit, but I also like when he do soft shit. Drake got shit, yo. You know he's problematic and motherfuckers, you know, don't fuck with him for whatever reasons.
Yeah.
But I fuck with Drake, yo.
Me too.
He be kicking that shit.
Yeah, dude, listen, he's winning out here on like the TV side. Because Top Boy, which was huge this weekend, they said like did crazy numbers on Netflix this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's behind Euphoria, that HBO.
Euphoria is wild.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but
it's
like
fucking wild. Yeah,
it's crazy. Like he's doing big things behind the scenes, man. Like, yeah. But listen, man, if you never watched Top Boy, you have to go watch it.
Yeah, it's essentially a British Wire.
Yeah,
but I enjoy it more than
without the cops.
Right. Like it's all the street shit. Yeah, yeah you don't follow no fucking pig home. Yeah. You know what I mean? To see like his wife and kids and shit. It's all like people in the street.
This is all the street shit. And yeah. like, I'm like also like, I love the, like you talking about like the British slang. Like,
yeah.
Like bruv, isn't it?
I noticed you've been mad British on Facebook and Twitter. Yeah.
Allow it.
Yeah.
Come, bruv. Like that kind of shit, dog. I love that shit, dog. Like I find that shit really interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
it's completely different from our shit.
I was talking to somebody. Shout out to my friend Charmaine. She's from like New Mexico and Utah. And I was talking to, she lives in Utah now. And I was talking to her about Philly slang.
Right.
And certain shit like I was saying, I was like, oh wow, I wonder if you even like know what I'm talking about in some instances. I don't ever think about it because it's just second nature to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like saying, you know what I mean? Like after shit that I say is second nature, but they also say in it after like everything they say, like, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's just second nature. It's not something you think about. So I find that intriguing as I'm watching the show. Mm-hmm. But like, it's so good. I will say this. First, like at least the first two episodes, there's a lot of stuff in Jamaica. Put your subtitles on, fam, because they are heavy with the accent.
Yeah, you don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, no, there's a lot where I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck he just said.
We grew up hearing reggae and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that, you know what I mean?
Like,
but we don't know what they're saying.
No, so definitely put your subtitles on. And listen, man, honestly, a lot of people who don't watch British shit, put your subtitles on because you're not going to understand what they're saying.
Right.
But it's a great show, man. Like
incredible show, yeah.
I couldn't wait to watch it when it came on. I was like, I binged the shit out of it. Yeah. You know?
I'm low key never get back in a relationship. You know what I'm saying? I'll be explaining to you why. Now, so like
you're not allowed to watch it without her.
We're gonna do this podcast. You know what I mean? I got a meeting after this, but Liz is getting her hair done later tonight. So I'm going to be in the crib most of the night, dolo, you know what I mean? So, you know, I might grab like a platter or whatever, chill in here, watch TV, just be like solo. I cannot watch Top Boy because we started and we gotta cross the finish line together, you know what I mean? So never get in a relationship because it fucks up your whole, you know, your viewing habits.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. I want to watch at my pace.
Don't do it. Yeah, watch it at your own pace.
But yeah, if you're not watching it, go watch it.
Absolutely.
It's so fucking good, man.
Yeah.
So fucking good. It's just a great written show.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, it's moving up my list of like favorite shows, like drama shows. Like I have different categories for different shit, but like it's slowly moving up that list with The Wire and Game of Thrones type shit. You know what I mean? Of just like beautifully done shows.
Yeah.
So if you're not with it, man, go fuck with that Top Boy, dog. That shit is legit. Also, last week, did you peep? It's the 25th anniversary of Ready to Die.
Notorious B.I.G. Mind blowing.
Yeah.
I remember that record came out, you know, like yesterday.
Yeah.
And yeah. That shit rocked. Whatever summer, I don't know when that record came. You know what I mean? Well, I know it was, yeah. That shit rocked.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Motherfuckers was like riding around playing that shit.
Well, it like it literally ended the West Coast reign. Not ended the West Coast reign, but like
definitely challenged.
Yeah, when Death Row was like all the hip hop you saw on like MTV, shit like that.
Yeah.
Like that shit came in and smashed all that.
And it opened the doors for like mad niggas too. You know what I mean? Because like even before like the whole Shiny Suit era, that whole formula that Big and Puff established, where it's like we got hardcore records. People always did like crossover records or whatever. But like that very particular blend of like slick street shit with like flossy like club shit, and being able to like marry those worlds together. There's no, you know, it was written without Big. There's no Hove. Hove has made a whole career, and I would say a business model.
Yeah.
You know, inspired by what Big did musically.
And as much as it was Big, it's a ton Puff. Because Puff's the one who came to him with the Yo Juicy. Like,
the M2
he wanted
record,
to release some like super gangster shit.
Right, as Machine Gun Funk, I think it was
supposed to be the first single. And while that's a dope record, that's not Juicy.
Yeah. Juicy, dog. Me and my man Doogie, shout out to Doogie, we played at like this like real ritzy, it was like a like older white lesbian couple were doing like some kind of like it may have been like a baby shower.
Okay.
Right.
I was thinking it was maybe a vow renewal or some shit like that.
It was some kind of ceremony joint. I think I'm pretty sure it was a baby shower thing. And it was like by the waterfront. In like this fancy, probably like the fanciest place I've ever DJed. Yeah. I usually DJ in like the scumbag spots.
Yeah.
So we were like playing records, dog. You throw on Juicy or like the Humpty Dance, like those kind of joints. Everybody in the room knows them no matter where you go.
Exactly.
So I say that to say Puff had a broader vision for Big than even Big had for himself.
Dog, listen to that record and you hear like, you can hear the stuff that Puff didn't super have influence on.
Yeah.
You know,
or maybe
I mean?
Even Puff was trying to, they didn't have a formula down yet.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And because even One More Chance, not One More Chance, One More Chance is the remix, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Puff
the
was
original.
The regular song.
Yeah, yeah.
And even that, you hear like, oh, that's a Puff song.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear the One More Chance original is not the version that everybody knows. That's
right.
A remix.
Right.
And you can hear the difference when he goes from like, oh, the One More Chance that is the remix, that's just like smoothed out.
Butter,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's a great song.
Yeah.
Where it's like you can never deny the fact that Big, and that's one thing, like he found the perfect partner, and like Big was able to make those songs and not, sell out shit and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it's just like him being a big smooth motherfucker.
They really took what he had, which was like charisma, creativity, presence on the mic. They took all of that shit and was like, okay, we're gonna smooth it out with these hooks, with these 80s samples, these like candy beats that they'll play on the radio. I was talking to somebody about this, that they'll play on the radio during the day. When we were kids, they played rap. Like in the 80s and even through the 90s, a lot of the rap that we heard was mix shows at nighttime.
Yep.
You know what I mean? During the day was like R&B, you know, throwbacks, and like old school funky shit. You know what I mean? They weren't playing rap just broad daylight. You know what I mean? You might have got some shit like the Drive Time mix. And that was within the 90s. In the 80s, nah, it wasn't like that. Big and Puff laid down a template that really allowed for hip hop not just to cross over from like black audiences to white audiences, but to cross over from young black audiences to like older black audiences who liked R&B and stuff like that. Biggie, you know, had like the Versace shades and he was like a smooth guy, you know what I mean? He had the cane. They really created a character around who he was that was authentic and that, you know, people really like resonated with. Yeah. You know? And it, I was just gonna say, you and then when you get into the record beyond the singles, he's talking like suicidal thoughts and all of this other stuff. He's saying things that people have never said on rap records before.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know what I mean? So that album, top to bottom, set a lot of precedents that we kind of take for granted now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that record, and then that whole wave of like so many people coming after him essentially doing, remaking Ready to Die.
Yeah, you got your street shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You got the singles. It's like, you know, Mike Geronimo did it. You know what I mean. A bunch of people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Did it and came in the wake of what Biggie did. Like Jay did that shit.
Like, dude, it was written as essentially that playbook,
right?
You know what I mean.
Right.
Just with like Trackmasters. Like, right. You know what I mean. Like, right. It's that playbook just with Trackmasters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a brilliant fucking playbook to use.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Puff and Big gave folks the playbook for what hip hop will become for like the next 10 years.
Right. Right. You know what I mean? A lot of shit went left when people went like overboard with like a lot of this shit. There was no, once we got to Harlem World and them shooting Mace out of a cannon or whoever the fuck they did in that video, it was like, I like it. I like it. Yeah. Like once we got to that part, the shit, it went too far. And it was like, I don't even want to say it was too jiggy. It was like too silly.
Yeah.
A lot of it. You know what I mean? But like with Big and Ready to Die, that was like a perfect formula.
Yeah.
That record. You know? Yeah.
No, there's a nostalgia for that record for me of just going to like, just going to like little parties, house party type shit. And like that record really is like, as much as I was like a bigger Pac fan than I was a Big fan.
Yeah.
You can't deny how great that record is.
No, it's, you know, when that record came out, like I knew Biggie was nice.
Yeah.
I liked the songs a lot. I was like, this is a dope album, but I wasn't like head over heels about it. As I got older and, understood like the craft of MCing more, like Biggie never had a bad verse.
No.
Like I anybody listening, you know what I mean? Find one for me. And I ain't talking about that shit that they did later where they took his vocals and put him over on the two records that he made and all the guest appearances that he did while he was alive. Find me a bad verse that man spit on the mic.
Nah, cause I can't even give you I could give you Jay verses where I'm like, eh.
Right. And like, yeah. And like Jay is the shit.
Yeah.
Jay is a genius.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nas is a genius.
Yeah, the Nas verses that are like, meh.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Big, you know, I'm sure if he would have lived longer, he would have went on, he'd have spit some bullshit.
And there's,
because he's a human.
There's absolutely that too, where there's like, he only has so much to go through.
Right.
So that's why I've always made the argument of like, well, I can't really put him in my like greatest of all time list because, or not list, but as like at the top.
Yeah.
Because
he's
only got two records really. And he didn't give you enough. Like there was going to be, like you said, there's going to be missteps.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think Life After Death is perfect.
No, it's not.
He spit crazy.
He's perfect on it.
Yeah,
but it's just overall,
record, yeah, it's not perfect.
They did too much.
Yeah,
they did too much.
That's always happens on double albums.
Yeah,
there's not a double album that's perfect.
Right. I understand why they did it because it was like strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's capitalize. Let's do it. And it ended up unfortunately being a blessing in disguise. Because imagine if they went in the studio. Imagine if they did an Illmatic. They went in the studio and did 10 bangers and just, you know, walked away, put it out, Big goes to L.A. and gets killed.
Yeah.
So now we just have Ready to Die and these 10 songs. You know what I mean? So it played out in the way that we got more of Big and more of, like, his voice and his spirit on records. But it did, you know, like you said, to your point, it made the album like really flawed in a lot of ways. Yeah. But him on that motherfucker,
he kills it.
Every single verse. Yeah. Every single verse. You can't name, to me, I've never heard Big spit a bad verse where I was like, man, this shit. You know what I'm saying? And Ready to Die, and he's trying a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And it's still all dynamite. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Give Me the Loot. Give Me the Loot is essentially, it's a crime tale, like a crime saga, like Children's Story.
Yep.
And it's in the Slick Rick mode where he's like
changing voices,
switching the voices up. He's like, he's taking something very particular that Slick Rick did and expanding on it. And it's an experiment, and it's flawless.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I marvel at that record, Ready to Die, because there's so much in it. For him to be that young when he made it.
Yep.
He was like 21 when he recorded the shit.
Yeah, something like that.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely early 20s.
Yeah.
He recorded that motherfucker. Like, homeboy was a genius. You know what I mean? He's an absolute genius.
Yeah, and I don't think Puff gets enough credit for really shaping that. Where, like, everybody get, I mean, and it's part of, like, just loving, I mean, part of it's just, like, he's the front man anyway. Big's the front man, so, like, he gets, but, like, Puff really curated that sound.
Right.
And, like, made that, like, okay, listen, because I've heard the story where he came in and Big did not want to rhyme on Juicy. He thought it was whack. He thought, oh, this is pop. And Puff was like, no, you have to rhyme on it. He's like, I'm telling you right now, this will be a hit.
Yeah.
But you have to do it. And he is like, even just in the telling him how, like, yo, you got to do it this way. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I don't think Puff gets the credit, as much credit as he deserves. Because I think people go later and go, oh, Puff gave the later blueprint for the real Jiggy shit.
Right.
Like, he doesn't get the credit for that early on view. You know what I mean? Like the If You Think I'm Jiggy,
right?
Like he wants
silly shit.
Yeah, he should get more credit for shaping that early '90s era too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But it's an amazing record, dude. Like you go back and go listen to it. It's just flat out amazing. Yeah.
I don't want to live no more.
Yeah, I hear death knocking at my front door.
Dog.
Like
all these little motherfuckers that rap about suicidal thoughts and all that shit.
All that emo hip hop, like. Big kind of started that shit, dog.
That shit was a scandal when he came out because there was already a taboo about black men's emotions.
Yeah.
There was already a taboo about black suicide. Mm-hmm. There's still a taboo. I was watching a comedian yesterday, literally, that was talking about, you know, black people don't commit suicide. We know that not to be true.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Big, when he came out and was saying all of that shit and saying like, you know, fuck my moms, I'm mad at my mom, and like, so he took what like Kurt Cobain and them, like the energy that they had in rock, and put it into like a really poetic framework for hip hop. You know what I mean? Which was unprecedented. You never heard somebody black on a record talking about suicide.
Yep.
Niggas thought like, you know, with rock musicians, I remember there was a stigma with like rock, like, oh, you listen to that suicide devil music.
Yeah.
They came, you know, hand in hand. People used to say that shit. You know what I mean? Big came out and said that shit and opened up emotional space in hip hop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now other people can say this and can say that because he kind of kicked the door in and opened the space for that shit. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't think he gets enough credit, like you said, for that. Like that, that whole thing doesn't get any credit for.
And for being like super nice, just generally nice. You know what I mean? Flawless cadence, like play around with flows, like wordplay, punchlines. That dude, yo, he really in the past few years. I've always liked his music. In the past few years, he's really become like one of my favorites to hear rap.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? If they found, you know, 30 seconds of him rapping that we hadn't heard before, I'd run to hear it.
Yeah.
I'd run to hear that shit.
Absolutely.
You know?
Did you check out anything new this week?
I did. I listened to some of the new Ghostface album.
Okay. What made you turn it off? Because I turned it off as well. I didn't listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, Ghost, I love Ghost to death. I turned it on. I was rocking, you know what I mean? The beats was heavy. Cap was coming. Shout out to Capadonna. I said to Steve, shout out to Steve. Cap, the verses I heard, Cap was coming off on his record.
Yeah, he was.
I'm not even a crazy Capadonna fan. Yeah. He was coming off on his record. Meth shows up like early in the record.
Yeah, first joint.
Styling on the shit. It was real ill. I ended up turning it off when Ghost was dropping like the F-bomb. Yeah. Not fuck.
Like the third bar on like this third song or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a giant one and I was just like, all right, I'm going to come back to this. I'm not listening to this.
So you checked out around that time too. Yeah,
exactly. Because I liked what I heard originally. I was like, oh, this is going, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Then like that was like jumps out in the beginning of like the third song. And I was
It was jarring a little bit. And you know, it's problematic because rap, we can listen to rappers talk about like clapping up the block and all that shit. And, you know, murdering somebody is objectively worse than saying a bad word. But like the bad word stuff, it's so taboo to me now.
Mm-hmm.
It made me be like, oh shit. You know what I mean? Like I didn't want to hear, I didn't want to hear no more, because I do want to hear more of it. Because what I heard was ill. I just in that moment had to like check out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I haven't had the chance to dig back into it.
Nah,
yet.
Me neither. And I think part of it is you actively have to use that. Where like you could be talking about shooting up the block, but it's a story and stories like, you know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
You actively went out of your way to use that word when you didn't need to. Like there's so many things you can throw in to replace it.
Yeah, and in context, he because, like, Eminem always used to make the argument, like, well, I don't mean the word, you know, saying, like, to mean gay people, like the F word. I don't mean it to say gay people. I'm just saying it. But Ghost, which I don't believe Eminem when he said
No, because honestly, what he's saying is, like, I don't use it. I mean it, like, as you're softer, you're not, like, this or that. Like,
what does that really mean?
Yeah, it means, like, a feminization of that other person, which is also goes into sexual context. Like, right. You know what I mean?
So, like, we know what you're saying, dog. Yeah. We grew up saying this shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But Ghost also says it, like, on some talking about rappers in skinny jeans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, whatever. It's wild to me that Ghost is beating the drum about that on the song, or, like, throwing it in there. That nigga, his kid is gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
especially when like you just said, rappers in skinny jeans, F words in skinny jeans, it's the same, like, it's the same beat. So like you could literally just swap out the word, the F word, for rappers, and you perfectly flow in the same exact way.
Yeah, it's intentional.
It's an active way to do it. So yeah, that kind of drew me out. But I am gonna go back and revisit it.
I noticed that with some of the records that Ghost made, like the 12 Reasons to Die, that record, like the stuff he did with Adrian Young, a lot of the verses were like offbeat.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, damn, yo, is Ghost like losing his flow? But then I listened to the last one that he did, the one with Big Ghost on the beats. And this one, and he's flowing on the motherfucker. So it leads me to believe, and I've heard somebody, I can't think of who said this shit on Facebook, but they said that niggas was taking Ghost vocals and trying to like compose music around it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't landing right. You know what I mean? The shit sound like he was rapping off beat.
I want to ask you something. Has his voice changed over the years? Because it sounds like it's changed to me.
I think it sounds different.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like higher pitched even on Clientele.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds different.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, as I get older, the more I understand how temperamental the human voice is. So depending on if you was drinking the night before or if you didn't get enough sleep.
Oh yeah, definitely.
If they record, like when I used to record at nighttime because I wanted to have a full day of using my voice before I went in the booth. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to, you know, scheduling a session at like 9 or 10 in the morning, something goofy, you know what I mean? And going in, and my voice hasn't, I haven't yelled, I haven't talked, I haven't, you know what I mean, like worked it out. So, you know, Isaiah had to say, who knows what the recording environment was. Absolutely. Or like what his physical condition was. He sounds like in tip-top shape.
Yeah,
on
he's
this
really
record.
In pocket and everything like that.
In
he's
pocket like a motherfucker. So it really leads me back to those, like particularly like the Adrian Young record. Like, did y'all just get his verse and then like try to like put some new shit under
he
it?
He was rhyming underneath on other stuff, and then they just took it and then like they stripped his vocal and put it on another beat.
As a producer, I make a lot of remixes. You know what I'm saying?
You have a whole remix album.
Yes, I do. I have a whole remix album coming out probably early October. And so I'm really sensitive to like shit being offbeat. I hate when y'all motherfuckers remix rappers vocals and the shit be all off sounding. I think a lot of producers aren't MCs, so they don't really know how shit, there's like a, there's an interview, they don't really know how shit should land. There's an interview with the Bull 40 who works with Drake. He said that Drake's hearing is really strange and like his sense of rhythm is really strange. He probably couldn't like clap on beat, like do some like regular shit. It's not because he's half white. Like,
Mars shit there, dog.
You said what?
That Mars rhythm that he's got.
Jesus. White people from Mars. But he said that they'll be in the studio. His hearing is so precise. They'll be in the studio and 40 will move a sound, you know, milliseconds, like not even a full beat.
Yeah.
He'll move it like a fraction of a beat and Drake will be like doing whatever and 40 will be playing it back and he'll be like, yo, did you just move something? And he's like, how the fuck did you hear that? Like, it's like I barely inched it over. He said he has really precise hearing and I feel like MCs are like that. If you're a good MC, you like a whack nigga who can't rap on beat, then you don't know what's going on. If you're really precise with the shit, then you know when it doesn't sound right. And that's what, you know, with listening to a lot of those Ghost records where he was doing like the live instrumentation shit, it sounded like they were trying to play on top of a vocal.
Yeah,
you know
definitely.
What I mean? But on this new one, it sounded like he's just like going in and he's in pocket. You know, he's rhyming like that Ghostface shit that he's been rhyming. It was just that song that kind of like took me out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm going to go back and listen. Maybe we do. We never do follow ups. So we be saying we're going to do follow. We never do follow ups. Maybe this will be the first follow up. Yeah. I don't know how you feel about it.
But. I don't care. I want to go back and listen. So I do plan on doing that.
I fuck
that.
With Ghost. You know what I'm saying?
He's in my top 10, like for me personally.
We might. At some point, we're going to do a top 10.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever done it.
No.
So yeah,
mentioned it. We probably mentioned 20 MCs that are probably in our top 10.
Right. Right. 30 niggas in the top 10. Right.
With a bunch of asterisks, like, right. You know what I mean?
This, the first thing that I wrote on the internet was a top 20 list.
Oh, word?
Yeah, the literal first thing that I published anywhere
on
the internet.
How different do you think it would be now?
I had all kind of goofy shit. Slick Rick was definitely in it.
Slick Rick's in mine. He's my favorite MC from the 80s.
Right. Kane, you know. But I had, like, I was, like, still in, like, super backpacker mode. Yeah. I was, like, 17. So I was putting like niggas nobody heard of in the mix because like that was like the shit I really fucked
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Big
probably wasn't in it.
Exactly.
Big's definitely in mine now.
I listened to an artist I got exposed to on the Top Boy soundtrack.
Word.
This dude, Young's Teflon.
Mm-hmm.
South London Bull. Yo, when I tell you this dude is a monster.
Really? He nice like that?
Monster, dog.
Damn.
He released like 3 projects this year. They were all short, like 5 or 6 song projects, like little like EPs essentially.
Yeah.
And then collectively released it as like 1 project,
right,
with 3 volumes. So it's still only about like 16 songs long. Mm-hmm. So, but it's called Blood, Swag, and Tears.
Gotcha.
And it was originally like released like Blood, Swag, and then like the whole thing is released as Tears.
Yeah.
So it's Blood, Swag, and Tears by Young's Teflon. dog, the production is not normal grind production.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more airy, orchestral stuff. Oh, sounds wow. more similar to like a Harry Fraud.
Ooh, word.
But like he's got a he talks about like Nas being one of his biggest influences.
Yeah, yeah.
He has a song called Broken Safety.
Ooh.
That's essentially him as a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
But what he doesn't do is tell everybody he's a gun. Like, yo, I'm a gun, y'all, just in case y'all didn't catch that.
Don't fucking explain it, Nas.
But it's really good. He's got this song called Aaliyah that's like, remember Jay-Z's like Meet the Parents?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a great storytelling record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That joint's called Aaliyah. He's got joints called like School Clothes that are all about like him just like back in the day. You know, like, it is a great, like, it will be in my top 10 for the year.
Shit.
Like, I've listened to it like 4 times completely over the weekend. Like, that's how much I really love their record.
Yeah, yo, I'm like, because I haven't heard this dude at all. Your description, I'm like, I'm about to fuck with this.
He's super nice.
Word.
And he's nice on the mic, where it's not like, oh, I'm just listening to it because these beats are super super dope. Like, he's right. really nice on the mic. Like, you know what I mean?
It'd be rare. Like, you now, like, you be getting like, oh, this motherfucker nice. His production trash.
Yeah.
Or the production is crazy. And this motherfucker, I'll take crazy production with a motherfucker who just.
Exactly.
Who just, you know, I don't want to say swagging it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just like kind of phoning it in. But yeah, I can't take trash production.
Dog, this shit is crazy. Now, I listened to one of his older records, and it was more that grime sound.
Word.
So I don't know if this is more of a transition now that he's rhyming over different stuff. You know, I really just literally got put onto him this weekend. But this record is going to be in my top 10, which is crazy because 2 British rappers will be in my top 10 this year.
Lil Sims
too. Lil Sims record is going to be in my top 10, and so is this Young Teflon joint. Like, literally, I don't think anything's going to come out that I'd be like, oh, I'm going to have to take Young's Teflon joint out.
So it's like Young's and Young's then Teflon.
Teflon, yeah.
Got you.
Young's with an S, Teflon.
Word.
Check him out. I'm telling y'all now, he is really good.
Nice.
Like, I'm not like super plugged into the grime scene. When I came upon this dude, I was like, oh shit. Like, I never heard of this dude before, and he is fucking great.
Right.
So I really love that record. I suggest everybody go check that out.
Okay. Word.
Wanna
wrap up?
Yeah. Yo, one of us has a radio show coming on at the end of this week, and it's not me.
It's going down, yeah. This week I'm launching a monthly radio show on public radio.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, WXPN is 88.5 FM on
real radio.
Not internet radio. Real fucking radio. Drive around.
But
in
you
your
can't
car.
Get it on the internet. You just gotta go to WXPN.org.
1000%. It's called Culture Cypher Radio.
Are you gonna be selling like tote bags and stuff like that while you're doing
it? We might do like the fundraiser shit, you know what I'm saying? It'd be like me and Grover.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like raising money for public radio. And Bernie Sanders. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's like we've kinda been talking about doing this, me and the folks over there, for a while. It's crazy because
shout out to our friends over at XPN.
100%. They always show love. I kind of had the idea bubbling in my mind,
mm-hmm.
and I just to the point where I had the email drafted
Word.
To pitch this to the station manager.
For folks who don't know, one of the original ideas for the podcast was you wanted to do a radio show,
right?
You were like, yo, we could probably get somewhere on radio and do that. And I was against that because I like the curse. And my big thing was I kind of wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. Man,
I cannot curse on this show.
Yeah, you can't curse.
I cannot curse.
Although, I don't think, dog, listen, we've done stuff. Like, the last live show, I don't know if we cursed that much.
Yeah, probably not. But, you know, I can't curse at all.
Yeah, you can't curse
fucking
at all.
Fucking public radio.
You don't have a dump button?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't fucking know. This is my first week. But I had the email drafted
Word.
To do this shit, to pitch this shit to them. And I was waiting for whatever reason to send it. And then the station manager essentially sent my pitch
to you,
to me, or what would have been my pitch. And I was like, yeah, absolutely, I'll fucking do it. You know what I mean? The XBN has been around for like 60, 70 years, something like that.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
This is the first and only hip-hop show in the station's history, which is like, it's crazy because...
So you can steal like trendsetters, boy leaders. Boy leaders,
yeah, drop, and yeah. Diamond Cuts is on there. Yeah. Like, I didn't know... how much people wanted this shit until they made the announcement, and like the announcement blew the fuck up.
Word.
Like, so like, okay, XBN has a online blog that I write for, a bunch of great writers write for. If I write a story, it might get like 18 shares on Facebook, 40 shares at the top end. This shit did like 1500 in a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the announcement.
Yeah.
So people are really excited. A bunch of people have been hitting me up like, yo, XBN, because usually they play, like they come out of like folk music.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of stuff.
They do a lot of rock and stuff like that.
Rock
like
music.
Rock,
yeah,
like that.
You know what I'm saying? So there's like no black DJs that I know of, and certainly nobody playing the fucking wild shit that I'm about to play on the radio.
Are these shows going to be cataloged so people can go back in and get them?
1000%. We're going to, I'll be live on the air doing it. It'll be streamed on xpn.org, and every show will be cataloged and then released later.
Also, I just want to shout myself out, pat myself on the back for that really like good question right there.
That was
like,
that was
that a, sounded like a professional interview.
That was a quality question.
That sounded like a professional interview. I'm proud of myself on that one.
It's bugged out. I was thinking about this shit yesterday. I was somebody hit me up to interview me about the show, and I'm giving like really clear, concise, like snappy responses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn, we do this shit.
We do this shit for real.
Yeah. I'm also proud of myself.
Yeah,
for doing that.
Just gotta pat yourself on the back, though. So everybody ain't gonna do it. Yo.
Who else gonna fucking do it? Not y'all that's listening. Y'all ain't gonna do it. So we gotta do it ourselves.
No, but I can't wait, man. I'm definitely gonna be tuned in.
It's gonna be dope, yo. This is like, it seems like this is the year of me doing shit I've never done before.
Yeah.
You know
and
what I'm
shit
saying?
You wanna do.
Right. Right.
What you want to do.
I grew up on radio. I love radio. I have, to this day, I have shoe boxes, dozens and dozens of tapes of shit that I used to just tape off of the radio.
How much of you wanted to name the show Radioactive Reloaded?
Shout out to Kobe Cove and DJ Red. Red. Yeah, Radioactive. You know, a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's just, so it's going to be primarily hip hop. But also, you know me, I'm into like a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
So I might play like Kraftwerk. I might play Fela. It's going to be a, you know, broad, eclectic.
If you
listen.
Need a bathroom break, you just throw some Fela on. You go disappear for a while.
That's the classic DJ move. Every DJ in Philly do that.
Yeah.
When the DJ missing, you know Fela.
Yeah.
When Fela come on, you know what's going on. That nigga
smoke
went
break
like,
for the DJ.
Listen, smoke. Go roll up, take a piss,
yeah.
Whatever you want. I'll be ordering whole like platters and shit. When I'm out of the gig, I'll
absolutely.
Go order food, put on like Africa Center of the Universe, a long ass fucking 20-minute Fela song. I just dip off, come back with a whole platter.
Yeah.
But it's dope and it's really exciting. I've never hosted a radio show. I'm trying to get my NPR public radio voice.
Welcome back to the culture cipher.
You know what I'm saying? Trying to get that down. But yeah, it premieres, let me look at the date here, Friday, September 20th.
Mm-hmm. What time?
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's 3 hours, so it's 7 to 10 on a Friday night. Be
Word.
Playing whatever the fuck.
Dog, that's like the classic tune-up time before you people go out and do shit too.
Right.
Like that was always like you would like turn on like 99 or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
that would be the time when motherfuckers was playing like all the music to get to turn up to before you go out to the club and shit.
That's when I used to come to your apartment before we would go out and just, you know, put our fucking fingers where they shouldn't be out in this disgusting world. I would go to your crib and like that was like the time you like get ready. You used to have like the Henny bottles or the fucking refrigerator and shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's like they offered to because you know the station manager knows that I DJ on Friday nights, and he was like, "Yo, you know, if you want to just record it and then you know we'll just air it and you can go out and DJ and get your money." I was like, "Nah, dog, I want to be on the radio."
Yeah.
On a Friday night in this city, and dog, just
that's
like playing.
That's
shit.
Major for dudes like us who grew up with. Like, I don't know if it's a big deal as much now for a lot of like a younger generation,
younger people,
because like radio isn't as big a deal. Yeah. But for us who grew up with radio being like a huge deal, I mean, that's how we heard most of the music. You know, these motherfuckers hear their music through the internet.
Everywhere,
we heard our music through the radio. So to be on the radio on a Friday night in the city is a fucking big deal.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
I'm excited. I'm actually, tonight I'm going to do my final like prep work.
Work.
For the show. So yeah.
You got like your bomb drops and stuff like that?
Funkmaster Flex Night. Dropping the bomb.
Did you see where that originally came from?
Yeah, David Letterman.
Yeah, the Letterman thing.
Yeah. And Rosie Perez. Yeah. Shout out to Rosie Perez.
Funkmaster Flex. Funkmaster Flex.
I didn't know that for a while. It's been circulating though on the internet.
Yeah, no, you gotta get your like. Are you gonna stop records and do like a 20-minute? You know what I mean?
A rant about a record.
A rant for 20 minutes.
When Fela Kuti made this record, the Nigerian government stormed this compound. Y'all don't understand. Yeah, just do just the longest fucking rants.
Go into your local poppy store and go in the register. Their money is your money now.
Flex really said that on the radio, dog. I wonder if any niggas got robbed that night.
I'm sure they did.
Flex said that shit on the fucking radio. Live on the radio. He told you to go rob the poppy store.
Yeah.
Dog. Flex out of pop. We got it when we do SRS 2.0. We gotta get Flex.
Yeah.
We gotta sit and talk to that dude.
Yeah, I know he's got stories, dog.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a million stories.
Flex has probably seen so many people get stabbed in the tunnel.
Oh, I was about to say, he was 98. In the tunnel when the tunnel was the tunnel. So.
Yeah, yo. I'm sure of it. Did they ever put out that tunnel documentary?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Remember they were working on
it? Yeah, they were working on it. I don't know if they ever put it out, though.
I want that shit.
Yeah.
I don't want too much. In life, I want that shit.
Dog, that just that visual, because the Get At Me Dog is the tunnel.
Right.
A shot in the tunnel.
Right.
And, like, just the energy in there, yo. Like, crazy.
No, that shit was wild.
But, yo, other than that, yo, fuck with us on all the social medias.
Come on.
It's Serious Rap shit on everywhere.
Come on.
Except for Facebook is Serious Rap-ish, because they wouldn't allow us.
Facebook is childish.
Yeah. But on Twitter and Instagram is Serious Rap shit. I'm Indie. _SRS on Twitter and on Instagram.
I'm John the Liberator everywhere. So,
yeah. John underscore Liberator.
Underscore
right?
Liberator. Yeah.
So, you know, go fuck with us everywhere. Follow us.
Come on.
And shit's popping. We're going to be doing a lot more bigger, better stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We got a whole nother live shit coming up soon.
Yeah.
We're going to drop some more details about that soon.
Yeah. I got to talk to you about that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we got some big shit. It's going to be a big year. We're going to finish out the year. The fourth quarter is going to be big, yo.
Super strong.
Yeah, we about to be Jordan and the Bulls in the fourth quarter, yo.
For real. Listen.
Your
man in them is Ewing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
He missing finger rolls and shit.
You got John Starks out here, you know what
Come
I mean?
Come on. Starks. Dog, he probably still be thinking about that shit.
Dog, I could not. Like, how could you not?
God damn. Blessings to John Starks.
Yeah, shout out.
Jesus.
But other than that, yo, fuck with us. We out, man. Peace.
Peace. Me and my fam pick this rap shit.